Signs of Christ's Coming. While at Thessalonica, Paul had so fully covered the signs of the times that would occur prior to the revelation of the Son of Man in the clouds of heaven, that he did not write at length regarding this subject. However, he pointedly referred to his former teachings, as to the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves know well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When people say, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them. Today the signs of the end are rapidly fulfilling. Paul teaches that it is sinful to be indifferent to the signs which are to precede the second coming of Christ. Those guilty of this he calls children of darkness, but you are not in darkness, brethren, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of the day, we are not of the night or of darkness. To those living so near the great consummation, the words of Paul should come with telling force, since we belong to the day, let us be sober, and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we wake or sleep we might live with him. The watchful Christian seeks to do all in his power to advance the gospel. He has severe trials, but he does not allow affliction to sour his temper or destroy his peace of mind. He knows that trial, if well borne, will purify him and bring him into closer fellowship with Christ. The Thessalonian believers were annoyed by men coming among them with fanatical ideas. Some were living in idleness, mere busybodies, not doing any work. Some, self-willed and impetuous, refused to be subordinate to those who held authority in the church. They claimed the right of publicly urging their views on the church. Paul called the attention of the Thessalonians to the respect to those who had been chosen to occupy positions of authority in the church. The apostle pleaded with them to reveal practical godliness in the daily life. You know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from unchastity. For God has not called us for uncleanness, but in holiness. The apostles' desire was that they might increase in a knowledge of Jesus Christ. Often he would meet with little companies of men and women who loved Jesus, and bow with them in prayer, asking God to teach them how to maintain a living connection with him. And often he pleaded with God to keep them from evil and help them to be earnest, active missionaries. One of the strongest evidences of true conversion is love to God and man. Concerning love of the brethren, the apostle wrote, "You have no need to have any one write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. Aspire to live quietly, to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands, as we charged you, so that you may command the respect of outsiders, and be dependent on nobody. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all men, as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before our God and Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints." The apostle cautioned the Thessalonians not to despise the gift of prophecy, do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophesying, but test everything, hold fast what is good. He enjoined careful discrimination in distinguishing the false from the true and closed his letter with the prayer that God would sanctify them wholly, that in spirit and soul and body they might be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He added, "He will do it."